listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My name is Nicholas, and my website is crosstheborder.org. We're going through the Bible here, and we began in Genesis some months ago, and we have ended up in Leviticus. There's a continuity in the Old Testament, specifically the first five books of the Old Testament that goes from creation and through the children of Israel. We are with the children of Israel after the first year. They got to 1 year out of Egypt, the first day of the first month of the second year out of Egypt. They had set up the tabernacle. They had no temple yet. Their temple was in a tent called the tabernacle. And we have the instructions here for the priesthood that we're going through in Leviticus, and we're in chapter 4. And if you've missed any of this, you can go back. You'll find that this study, the first hour, and this, the second hour, is posted at the website crosstheborder.org, where it will be posted there in a few hours. You will also find there the entire study in Genesis is posted, and the entire study in Exodus is posted. Or if not posted, email me. My email address is there, or a link for it is there at crosstheborder.org, and ask me, where is the link for whatever it is you're looking for? And I would gladly help you out with any questions you have. I have many other studies. Some are posted, some are not, but many of them are available for download. So if you have any questions about specific things, I may answer you with an entire study, so don't be surprised if that happens. Okay, we're in, stop this thing, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 6, and let's back up a little bit. He shall bring the bullock. Okay, we're talking about a sin offering here, and yeah, the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before Yahuwah, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for a sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards. And this is a lot more repetition of things that we've already covered three or four times. So whether it's a sin offering, whether it's a peace offering, every type of offering was pretty much handled in the same way, with few minor differences. All offerings were voluntary, so that no one was coerced. You were not required, and I've heard people say that they were required. No one was required to do anything in this system. Our Heavenly Father always, if He requires anything, He requires anyone who shows up before Him to show up before Him on a voluntary basis. Now, there is a day that where you will involuntarily show up before Him. And we all have that day coming. And of course, that comes after our mortal flesh is planted in the ground. Then there's no way out of it, because your mortal flesh is gone. You have lost your autonomy, so to speak. You are totally, He has revoked your autonomy. Let's put it that way. Otherwise, see, the autonomy that you have is a gift that He has given to you. And that is the day when He revokes your autonomy. It's a grace period that He gives to you so that you may have the opportunity to voluntarily come before Him. So don't ever think that anyone was required under the Levitical, the priest sacrifice temple system, that anyone was required to do anything. We see it over and over here that it was all voluntary. Our Heavenly Father was not a tyrant, is not a tyrant. He allows you to ignore Him all of your life if that is what you desire to do. He wants you to come voluntarily before Him. chapter 4, verse 13. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin, which they have sinned against it, is known, okay, when they discover their sin, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before Yahuwah, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. So we have a corporate assembly. We have a corporate sacrifice here, where the elders lay their hands upon the head of the sacrifice for the whole congregation, or for the whole nation, really. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before Yahuwah and even before the veil. So we have here the same ritual for the whole congregation, except for the part where the elders, all of the elders, lay their hands upon the head. So he shall put some of the blood upon the horns, which is before Yahuwah, and that is the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. He shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. He shall do with this. The priest shall make atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. So their sin is covered, at least a temporary covering, by the shedding of the blood of these animals. And perhaps it would be an appropriate study for anyone in their personal studies to jump forward into the book of Hebrews in the New Testament and read it. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn it. Burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. So now we have they're going without the camp for a sin offering. And when a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he has sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before Yahuwah. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And it shall be, and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, the fat of the sacrifice, the peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance. So, you know, there's a difference between if you sin ignorantly or if you sin willfully. If you sin willfully, well, if you sin through ignorance, then your sin can be forgiven through the sacrificial system. Mistake, inadvertent transgression, ignorance, unaware, unwittingly. And that's fairly broad. That could be, yes, that could be defined broadly what the word through ignorance means. Because, I mean, even the word ignorance means ignore. It comes from ignoring. Okay, so if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of Yahuwah concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he has sinned, come to his knowledge, so we have an or there, if his sin come to his knowledge, and he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for a sin which he has sinned. And if he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering, and the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the gate, at the bottom of the altar, and he shall take away all the fat thereof, and the fat is taken away off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it, a female without blemish. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering to slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offerings. And the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar, and he shall take away all of the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the gravity of our disobedience and the sin of mankind, I believe, is the main objective here, is what is being put across here, and that we must willingly, of our own free will, voluntarily, come before him. Even now, we don't have to bring, because the sacrifice has already been made. All of this has been done away with, well, not done away with, but fulfilled would be a better word. The sacrifice has been fulfilled. This whole priest temple sacrifice system was fulfilled. It's been done away with because it was fulfilled by one man, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, Yahushua, also called Jesus. When he shed his blood for our sins, he became our sacrifice. We go to him, and we are covered by his blood. His blood was shed at the altar for our sins. In Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1, and if a soul sin, and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now, I don't quite understand what is going on here. Read on. Well, maybe we'll get a little more information. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing. Well, I got to go back. If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, he do not utter it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be the carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, and it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of a man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. So if you don't know something, I guess you bear it. But when you find out, then you're guilty of it, and you have to do something about it. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, or Yahuwah, for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, or a lamb, or a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, with he had committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto Yahuwah, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So if you're poor, you can't afford a lamb. You certainly can't afford two turtle doves. Apparently that's the meaning behind that. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner of the priest who shall make atonement for him for his sin, which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, as touching a sin that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, If a soul shall commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of Yahuwah, and he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering, he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priests, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he knew it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. If he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock by the estimation for a trespass offering unto the priests, and the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass offering against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, so now we're getting into particulars here, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all of these, that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which was he took violently away, or the thing which he has deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. So it's a theft, whether you find something that was lost, and you see that it even carried forward in our laws today. If you find something, you're supposed to put out a notice and report it so that whoever lost it can recover their property. If you don't do that, then it is theft. If you don't make some attempt to restore that which you found to the rightful owner, it's not finders keepers. Sorry. I mean, if you find a penny on the ground, it's not worthwhile to find out who the penny belongs to. Unless you see someone drop it, then you would restore it, a dime, a quarter, a penny. But if you find $1,000, you know somebody's looking for it. And if you make the effort, you know you're going to find them. Of course, you have to act wisely. You can't just go around asking people if they lost $1,000, because half of the people would say yes. If you have $1,000 in your hand and you're looking for the owner, you'd probably be surprised at how many owners you can find. You would say something like, I found a certain amount of money here about, and if you lost it, tell me how much it is, and I will restore it to you. Something like that. You'd have to use a little wisdom, but the object is to restore that which was lost to the rightful owner of it. Or all that is about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add a fifth part more thereto. So if you get something or swear falsely or find something and you keep it and you don't restore it, But you come to your senses, you're supposed to add a fifth part to it and restore it to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. So if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't restore, or if you find that your neighbor has aught against you, or if you have trespassed against your neighbor and you don't make it right, well, before you bring a trespass offering, you are to make it right. That principle was upheld by Yahushua, our Messiah, when he was about his ministry. Basically, he said, before you bring your offering, that you go and you make it right with your brother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So you come to yourself, you're bringing your offering, and then his Holy Spirit convicts your heart about something between you and your neighbor. You are to make it right. You see, the same principle is being applied here, that these people are voluntarily bringing a trespass offering, and as they're bringing it, they're going, oh, well, wow, you know what? The Holy Spirit touches them that they have to restore this thing. Perhaps they found something. They found out later that their neighbor lost something after they had spent it. Well, they have to go and make it right with their neighbor and add a fifth part to it. So you see the same principles here throughout the law and how important these things are to our Heavenly Father, that we have to love our neighbors ourselves. We have to make it right with our neighbor before we come to him. And we see how, as Yahushua said, he said, on these two, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbors yourself. Upon these two hang the law and the prophets. So we see it demonstrated in the law here, and in the sacrificial ceremonial and sacrificial rites, we see it. And he shall bring the trespass offering unto Yahuwah, ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. The priest shall make an atonement for him before Yahuwah, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So you didn't have to, you know, perhaps you brought your trespass offering once a year, but before you made your trespass offering, the Holy Spirit perhaps would reveal to you or bring to your remembrance all of the things that you had done against your neighbor in that year or since your last trespass offering that you're bringing voluntarily, and your Heavenly Father wants you to make it right. And then your offering is accepted. You know, it's no different today. You know, you can go and you can get on your knees and you can ask for forgiveness of your sins, and perhaps your Heavenly Father will say, your brother over here has something against you, or you did this or you did that against your brother. Go make it right with your brother, then come back to me. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? He tells us, you know, Yahushua said, these are the great commandments. Love God is the greatest of all, and love your neighbors yourself. So we do the greatest commandment. We love our Heavenly Father, and we go before him with our prayer and our supplication, and we ask forgiveness. And he says, I want you to go to your neighbor first and make it right with your neighbor. So to love him, we have to go to our neighbor first and love our neighbor. That is loving him. So we have to love him, but let's not get it mixed up. He said that's the greatest, to love our Heavenly Father. And when we go to him, perhaps he'll say, go to your neighbor and then come back to me. That's the law of his kingdom, to love him and to love our neighbor as ourself. So, and Yahuwah, the Lord, spoke unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen breeches, he shall put upon his flesh, he shall take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, And the priest shall burn wood upon it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And this is the law of the meat offering upon of offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before Yahuwah, before the altar, and he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering and of the oil of the altar for a sweet savor, even a memorial of it unto Yahuwah, unto the Lord. And we'll pick up here when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we are going through the Bible, through the book of Leviticus.
Mislead or to trick anybody, but I know that most of you who have seen us in concert before know that when you came here tonight, you thought you were coming to a third day show, but hopefully you're coming to so much more than that. When you come here tonight and we all gather together in the name of Jesus, we're going to have a church service here tonight, y'all. And it begins with praise to our Father.
Ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals or foul tastes and odors in the water. So I packed our Sport Berkey purifiers.
You know, this is a terrific cabin. And wow, have you noticed the beautiful weather?
Don't ruin your vacation. Get a travel Berkey today for only $209 or get a sport Berkey for only $39 by calling 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Travel Berkey not yet available in Iowa.
Great hope and power in the name of Yahushua. No doubt about that. You're listening to Cross the Border. And my website is crosstheborder.org. You'll find an email link there to email me. We're going through the Bible. And maybe perhaps I could give this program another name, perhaps Through the Bible for the 21st Century, because that's something that I feel like the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, has moved me to endeavor, and that is to go through the entire scripture. Again, I attempted it once in the last century, didn't make it because of circumstances which arose, but I've learned so much since then that I have to go through it all again, and I'll tell you what, it's much better this time around. Just the revelation and the working of the Holy Spirit in the first hour of today is somewhat overwhelming sometimes when the Spirit comes on me and things come out of my mouth and I know it's Him working. It's not me, because it certainly is not in me, but except for His Holy Spirit. We're going through Leviticus. We've done Genesis, Exodus. Now we're in Leviticus, and I believe we're going to continue right on through the narrative. There's a continuity here which I don't feel like I can break up. I considered going back and forth and from one book to another in the scripture, and perhaps some of the books, as we go through the entire Bible, will merit jumping from one book to another, but I believe that we have a continuity in the story here of creation. And through the promised seed of the woman, the Redeemer, which is going to lead us right up as we follow the narrative, hopefully we'll come right up with the children of Israel to the time of Yahushua. We shall endeavor to do that, however we can do it. I'm not certain that we'll cover everything in the Old Testament before we jump into the New. I'm certain there's a jumping-off point there somewhere where the story is a continuity. But we'll just see where the Spirit leads us. And I do covet your prayers, so if you'll hold me up in your prayer as I go through this study, and that I do follow the leading of His Holy Spirit as we do this. And I know that those that are listening to me, that they must have a love for the Word of our Heavenly Father. They must have a love for Him and a desire to seek him and know him, especially according to the word that he has revealed himself to us. There's no better place to look for him than in the letter that he has given us. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, perhaps we can see him more clearly. But certainly, we learn that he desires for us to come voluntarily and willingly to live a life of obedience, a life that is pleasing to him. As we go through this, nothing is more pronounced than that. Now let us continue. We're in Leviticus chapter 6, talking about the food offering, which is called a meat offering. He shall take of it. Yeah, let's see. Get back to a starting point here. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before Yahuwah, before the altar. He shall take it of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering. So we're talking about a food offering. We're not talking about the sacrifice of animals in this case, because the King James Version used the word meat for food. And that's where a lot of people get mixed up, because they want it to be, they want meat to represent pork so they can justify eating bacon. Well, if you want, you know what? You don't have to justify anything by the Scripture. Our Heavenly Father wants you to do everything voluntarily. If you want to voluntarily live according to the dietary laws, which I have chosen to do, then you do it voluntarily. If you want to eat pork and you want to ignore his laws, then you are free to do that. But don't twist his word to justify it in some way as if it, so to make it some kind of holy thing. Because it's not. Just look at it for what it is. No one, I don't believe anyone's going to be condemned for eating a bacon sandwich, because, you know, I've eaten bacon in my past. And perhaps I've even eaten unclean meat in the recent past without even knowing it, because I don't question things, but I don't bring those things into my home to make them a regular part of my diet. I believe that is really the point, because I'm a volunteer, and I believe that he gave the dietary law not as ceremonial, but I believe he gave it as something that is for our own good. And apparently, that's as man has learned more with science, that has borne out that if we ate according to the laws given in the Scripture, that we have a much healthier diet and therefore a much healthier life. And he said that he would lay none of these diseases that he laid upon the Egyptians upon us, none of those diseases. So if you want to live a life that has less disease, then it would be a wise thing to live your life voluntarily according to his law. Okay, so they take a handful of flour as a memorial, and they throw it on the fire for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it. So that's just a small part of it. If someone offers an offering of food, or meat, flour, oil, whatever, just a memorial of it is upon the is thrown upon the fire, and the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in the holy place, the court of the tabernacle, the congregation. They shall eat it. So it was their food. It shall not be baked with leaven. So the Levites weren't to have any leavened bread, apparently, at any time, especially that which they ate in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as it is the sin offering, as the trespass offering. All the males of the among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. Every one that toucheth them shall be holy. So the Levites, the priests, the sons of Aaron, in their generations were to be set apart. They were to be holy. They were to eat of the sacrifice, of the meat offerings, of the food offerings, of the oil and the flour. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 19, and Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron of his sons, which they shall offer unto Yahuwah in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a meat offering, perpetual, half of it in the morning, half thereof at night, in a pan. It shall be made with oil. When it is baked, thou shalt bring it in, and the baked pieces of the meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto Yahuwah, and the priest of it, and the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. So that which the priests offered for themselves was to be wholly burnt and not eaten. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. When there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessels wherein it is sodden shall be broken, if it be sodden in a brazen pot. It shall be both scoured and rinsed with water. So if it was a porous vessel, it was to be broken, and it had the blood on it. And if it was a brazen pot, that it was metal, it could be scoured and rinsed away. And of course, this was for cleanliness, and basically for sanitary reasons. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. And no sin offering whereof any blood is brought into the tabernacle, the congregation, to reconcile withal in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. Chapter 7 of Leviticus, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. So they went through. We went through all of the ritual. We went through all of the motions. And basically, I believe what's going on here, we have some further directions and conclusion of the ceremony of the sacrificial, the ritual that is to take place. So he says, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where you kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering. The blood thereof shall sprinkle round about the altar. They shall offer all of it, the fat thereof, the rump, the fat which covers the inwards, the two kidneys, the fat. And pretty much we're just going through it all again. And the caul above the kidneys they shall take away. The priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made unto the by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a trespass offering. So whatever the sacrifice was, whatever the offering was for, whether it was a peace offering, for a trespass, for sin, whatever the reason, the inward parts were burnt upon the wood of the fire. They were burnt completely up. Let's continue. We'll see if we can get through as much of this as we can today through the ceremonial and sacrificial. It is somewhat laborious, but an understanding of the gravity of our sin, I believe, is what we really need to have the patience to go through this and understand it. Okay, so they burnt all of the inward parts on the fire. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a trespass offering. And of course, the skins were for clothing, basically, as we've see previously, which they're not even covered or talked about here throughout the ritual sacrifice. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place, as the sin offering is, so the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priests that make atonement therewith shall have it. The priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest, shall have it to himself, the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. So there we see, finally, a word about the skin of the sacrifice of the animals. And all of the meat offering that is baked in the oven, all that is dressed in the pan shall be the priest that offers it, and every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have one as much as another. So they were to share certain things evenly among all of the sons of Aaron, among all of the Levites, the priests. And this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which he shall offer unto Yahuwah. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, the cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour fried. And I'm not sure that means fried in a pan like we think of frying today. As a matter of fact, I am not certain what that means. Let's take a look here. Okay. All right. I'm trying to get this thing to work, but there we go. Finally, to soak the bread in oil. So not necessarily fried and cooked, but oil, flour with oil, and an offering of thanksgiving. That was for the priest. So if someone brought an offering of thanksgiving, perhaps they already did their sacrifice for their sin in that year, but they want to support the priesthood. They want to support the priest, the temple, the sacrificial system by supporting the priest. So they would bring a offering of thanksgiving. The priest would take a memorial of it and burn it on the fire, you know, perhaps just a very small portion of it. How much do you need for a memorial? And the rest of it, that would be divided up among the son Aaron and the sons of Aaron for their families, for their use. It was an offering of thanksgiving. And I believe that should be carried out today for those that are ministering to the congregation, as the Levites were ministering to the congregation, that a thanksgiving offering. This is not a tithe. We have not even touched on a tithe yet. But when we get to the tithe, I think your eyes are going to be opened a little bit as to the deception that has been carried out through many, many years as to what the tithe is. And as always, that's voluntary. But when we get there, we'll get there. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 14. And of it he shall offer one of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto Yahuwah, and it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be in the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be in the same day that he offereth it, offers his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. So, 3 days. The third day, that's it. It's to be destroyed on the fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. So there's a warning that you make sure that, you know, it's kind of like the warning they give these days when they have the uh, what's called the Lord's Supper, when he said, do this in remembrance of me. They break the bread and they drink the wine or the blood that you're supposed to remember your sin and, you know, make sure that, I believe that we have the same thing going on here. And, of course, the thing here was to go to your brother and to make it right of anything that your brother may have against you or any sin or trespass that you may have committed against your brethren. So you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but and to make sure that you're at peace with your neighbor before you come before the Heavenly Father. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, and let us remember through all of this, that this is Moses receiving the law and the statutes for the sacrifice and for sin and for the ceremony of the temple, or I mean of the tabernacle, for they had no temple yet when they built the temple. Of course, all of this was carried over into the temple. So you have the tabernacle priest sacrificial system here, ceremonial, that is taking place. This is all a looking forward to what Yahshua would do when he shed his blood, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, when that became a reality. Of course, he's called the lamb slain before the foundation of the world because all of this was preordained, and him coming and sacrificing his life and shedding his blood for our sin, it was all preordained. There are no surprises here. There was no plan A or plan B. There was only one plan. And we have lived it, and we are living it. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts, may be used in any other use. But you shall no wise eat of it. So yes, fat could be used for other things. It could be used for, and of course we're talking about the fat of clean beasts that dieth of itself, and the fat which is of torn beasts, something, say you find one of your animals has been torn up during the night by a predator, you can use the fat to what, make soap, to waterproof this or that, or whatever fat may be used for. That's not common today because all of us go to the store and get everything we need today already prepared. But where do you think that soap came from? Oh, it's made out of fat. So whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto you, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. And moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be a fowl or a beast or in any of your dwellings. So, and it cannot be stressed anymore. And this is even stressed in the New Testament. And perhaps we'll open with that next time. In our next segment, we'll open with how this statute was carried over into the New Testament and how it has been totally ignored by the corporate church of our day, this law against eating fat and blood. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. How about that? And it was emphasized by the Holy Spirit, and we'll see that too when we come back tomorrow, because we're just about out of time today. So I'm going to mark my space here in Leviticus and chapter 7 and verse 26, and that's where we're going to pick up tomorrow. So do join me then. My website is crosstheborder.org. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I believe that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important in this life than that you cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and obtain eternal life. Can you think of something more important? Do you have something more important? Because this life is short. People say it all the time. This life is short. Life is short. But forever is a long, long time. You want to be prepared for that. Nothing is more important.
Let's just sing it to him.